you will see the same phrase popping up again and again. And David inquired of the Lord. And David inquired of the Lord. It's sort of like when some situation took place in David's life, David would come before God and say, Lord, I have some questions here. Here's a situation. Now, here's some boxes. Are you very concerned, somewhat concerned, not concerned at all? And the Lord would check a box and he'd say, okay, then that's my heart as well.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Have you ever found yourself in the middle of one of the storms of life and you look around and say, man, I never signed on for this? Well, one day the disciples found themselves in a storm at sea that had even the toughest of them reaching for the Dramamine. If that's the way you feel right now, cinch up your life jacket a notch tighter and stay tuned. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, A Faith for All Seasons.
How many of you, by the way, get seasick pretty fast? Raise your hand. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Okay. How many of you don't get seasick at all? Raise your hand. Wow. Well, it's said that only the most creative people get seasick and... Well, we went over on an overnight camping trip off Pohiki and to this place called Apuli where we were doing some ono fishing and for mahi-mahi. And the captain of the boat was none other than Alex Pacheco, who was a fisherman at that time, and he's now pastoring our New Hope Church in Hilo. Now, Alex does not get seasick. I mean, he is a war veteran of the sea. You know, and he just loves it. I mean, his favorite drink is bile, I think. He just loves that. I think his mother told me that when he was young and 2 or 3 years old, somewhere in there, his favorite pastime was jumping in the washing machine when it hit spin cycle. He just loved it. Till his eyeballs rolled to the back of his head, you know, and that's just how he is. Well, we took this 29-foot boat, about 12 of us, open cab now. So it's just a fish box and just open to where we did some fishing. And then we spent the night there on the shore. Now, a storm was brewing that evening, and the next morning it was almost in full gale. So we quickly ate our breakfast that I really shouldn't have, but we ate an ample breakfast of old rice Portuguese sausage cooked in last night's fish grease and a pancake smothered with butter and some malasadas that was cooked too long in the oil. So we had to, you know, I mean, we got to finish off stuff. You know, we don't want to leave it there. So we just packed our gullets with that stuff. And then we head out. Now, by this time, the swells are at about 10 feet. And we're going uphill, they call it, or against the current. So what would have normally taken us an hour to return to Pohiki was going to take us 2 hours. Now, as we're going that way, now Alex is driving the boat. And he is just, you know, a crusty old guy. I don't even know if he's saved yet. And he's just going, and he's got salt just crusting in his hair, and he's laughing, and I'm sick. And he's got limo stuck in his teeth, you know. And I am just dying. So I finally crawl to the rail. Now, waves are splashing on us. We are soaking wet by this time, just pounding. You almost have to strap yourself in because you'll just get washed overboard. This open cab, 29 foot, and when it comes down over the swell, bang, it'll hit, and you can hear the engine whir in the air and crash. So we're just being jostled all over. I'm just sick as a dog. I make it to the rail. I lean over and linger long over the rail. I contribute all that I have to the fishies of the sea. And then when I'm done, I search for more. I get back, and I actually sit on the cab's floor, and I'm just getting bashed by water, and I don't care, you know? I just want to die. I don't even have the strength to go to the rail anymore, so I just throw up on myself. I figure the waves are going to wash it off, you know? It was the worst. It was the worst. And I mean, once we just went airborne, and you can just hear the engine going... And I just knew we were going to die. And I thought, oh, praise God. And we hit, bang. One of the guys even said, hey, Alex, you're going to crack the hull. And I thought, good, I yelled. Death by drowning is a fine way to die. You know, I wanted a shark to eat me so bad. Just kill me. I know what it is. And the disciples were caught in a mega storm in Galilee. Now, it's bad when an uninitiated civilian like me gets scared in the midst of a storm. But when weather-beaten sea veterans get scared like the disciples, you know it's bad. But in the midst of this storm, Jesus is about to give us one of the best lessons of faith that we'll term a faith for all seasons. Let me begin by reading out of Mark 4. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go to the other side." And leaving the multitude, they took him along with them, just as he was in the boat. The other boats were with them. And now there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves are breaking over the boat, so much so that the boat was filling up. And let's read now together. Ready? Go. "And he himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?' And being aroused, he rebuked the winds and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?' And they became very much afraid and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the winds and the seas obey him?'" See with me the story. The disciples are yelling at Jesus because he seems not concerned at all about this horrendous storm. They yell at Jesus and say, "Don't you care that we're perishing? Aren't you concerned that we're going to die?" As if they were saying, "Jesus, this is no time for resting. This is not the season for sleeping. Can't you tell? This is not the season to be at ease. This is a season to be worried like we are. This is a season for you to be concerned like we're concerned. Don't you care?" Well, Jesus stands up and he rebukes the winds and the seas and it becomes perfectly calm. And here he teaches us one of the best lessons of faith. So please listen carefully. He turns first to the disciples and he says, "Why are you so afraid? Why is it that you have how much faith? No faith." Now notice, often Jesus in the scriptures will say, "O ye of little faith," or he'll say, "doubting faith," or "why did you doubt?" But very seldom does he say, "You have no faith." He doesn't say some. He turns to his disciples who should know better and he says, "You have no faith, zero faith, zilcho faith, allas. You have nothing." He spoke Hawaiian. "You have nothing. You have zero faith." Now, why in the world did he say that? It must be because they forgot something. And if we will remember what those disciples forgot, it will help you and I to develop a strong confidence. Because here it is. Number one, would you write in your notes? They forgot this. They forgot that God said that God will never forsake you. God will never forsake you. They thought he had. And so they interpreted that as, "You don't care because you're not concerned about this storm." Let's read, though, the secret of this faith, this kind of faith, in the scripture beneath. Ready? Go. "And on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side.' And leaving the multitude, they took him along with them just as he was in the boat." Would you circle three poignant, very salient words on the second line? "Let us go." That's good enough. Just circle those. You know why? Because when Jesus says, "Let us go," that means his presence is going to be there. The one who created this Galilean Sea, the one who created the winds to blow or the waves to roll. And when he says, "Let us go," you know you're okay because you're with the one who is the creator. And when something of impending disaster seemed to loom, he just stood up and said, "Hush," and the winds calmed down. "Be still," and the seas calmed. You see, when you're walking where Jesus is walking, when you're doing what he is doing, when he says, "Let us go," and you follow, then there's going to be an ambiance of confidence and assurance and faith because you're going to be following him and his presence. God won't forsake you. And it is there that we're going to have the first lesson of faith, to follow him. Now, let me illustrate it this way. Some time ago, a special came on television about Rambo. Now, featuring my favorite, Sylvester Stallone. Now, it was one of the two or three films he had made with the Rambo character, you know? Now, in this movie, Rambo is running away, escaping from the whole stinking Russian army. Everybody is coming after him. And he finds himself, all of a sudden, in this field, surrounded by 3,000 troops of ground assault, finely tuned Russian commandos. Hovering overhead, two combat helicopters equipped with strategic nuclear warhead missiles pointed straight at him. And he's there. All he's got to defend himself is, I think it was just like a plastic knife he stole from the plane ride over. That's it. And just then, now they're closing in on him, and it's dramatically moving closer and closer, and you can see one of the commandos' faces in the chopper. You know, it's this Russian commander, and he's laughing, oh, niho letit, oh, and he's flipping the red safety off, oh, and he's ready to push the button. All of a sudden, shoo, commercial break. My wife starts hysterically crying. Oh, he's gonna die, he's gonna die. There's no hope for Rambo. And I start laughing. I just start cracking up. And she says, why are you laughing, you insensitive thing? And I let her in on a secret. I said, honey, he can't die, he's the star. You gotta get this straight, I said to her, honey, listen. It doesn't matter if he had both hands tied behind his back. He was blindfolded and you strapped kryptonite to his chest. Wrong character, I think that was the mission. That's Superman. But it doesn't matter, I said to her. He can't die. He's the star. The show must go on. And I turned to my wife and I said, why are you afraid, oh ye of no faith? I said, turn your mourning into dancing, woman. He will not die. He will live. He is Rambo. But you know, I look at this story and it's just like that. I mean, Jesus says, let what? Us go. So you know when you're walking where Jesus is walking, you're fine. If a storm comes up, he'll calm the storm. You see, when you're walking with the Creator and you're walking where he's walking and doing what he's doing, it doesn't mean you won't encounter storms, but I'll tell you one thing, you will get to the other side. But there's one requirement, and it's a very, very important lesson of faith. Here it is. You notice Jesus said, let us go. The disciples didn't say, I think we'll go this way. By the way, would you bless us, Lord? Would you come with us? Now, a lesson of learning faith and making it understandable is this. It is not getting Jesus to go where you want him to go. It's not putting him on a leash. It's not making him just mandating, bless me, God, do this for me. It's not saying, Lord, I don't know if you're concerned about this and you're into this, but I'm into this. And by the way, would you bless me? No. Where faith really happens, the arena of faith where miracles take place, is when the Lord says, this is where I'm going. Join me. Follow me. When you're walking with him, it's a whole different life. That's where faith is found. It's not the other way around. You see, the disciples were saying to Jesus, why are you asleep? Don't you understand that this is a very concerning, worrisome thing, this storm? And Jesus awoke and said, how come you have how much faith? No faith. You know why? You know why he was pretty harsh? Because of this. Would you write it number two on the other side of your notes? You see, the disciples were concerned where Jesus wasn't. And here's the secret to faith. Please write in your notes. Faith is being concerned about what Jesus is concerned about. Because as you notice, he was asleep. Was he concerned about the storm? No, but the disciples were. And because they were concerned about something Jesus wasn't concerned about, and they threw their energy and time and passion into this, the Lord says, you're operating, you're flying in a no-faith zone because you're concerned about something I'm not concerned about. Why is it that you have no faith? Not little faith, no faith. Because I'm not concerned about that. You see, often I am concerned about the things he's not concerned about. And the things he is concerned about in my life, in this season of my life, I'm pushing the snooze button. But faith is saying, Lord, what are you concerned about in this season of my life? What are you concerned about? Because I want to be concerned about the same things. Otherwise, we will be flying in a whole different arena. And the Lord is asleep and we're worrying. And when we run into some wall, we get mad at God. Where were you, God? Don't you care? And the Lord is saying, it's not an issue of caring. I care about you, but where are you going in this area? I'm going this way. I'm concerned about certain things in this season of your life, and you're asleep. And the things you're concerned about, I'm saying don't be concerned about. You see that in the life of David, all through the Old Testament. You remember when people would come against him and wars would take place and people would come and maraud him and fight against him? Then they'd run off and David would stop and inquire of the Lord all the way through his life. You will see the same phrase popping up again and again. And David inquired of the Lord. And David inquired of the Lord. It's sort of like when some situation took place in David's life, David would come before God and say, Lord, you know, remember the surveys we used to take? It was sort of like this. Lord, I have some questions here. Here's a situation. Now, here's some boxes. Are you very concerned, somewhat concerned, not concerned at all? Would you check one of the boxes for me? And all of these things, he would say, Lord, are you very concerned, somewhat concerned, not at all concerned? And the Lord would check a box and he'd say, okay, then that's my heart as well. You see, what David was doing, he was matching his concerns to the Lord's rather than saying, I'm just going after this. By the way, God bless me in this endeavor because I'm going after it. We have to stop saying, God bless what I'm doing, and instead say, Lord, would you help me to do what you're blessing? You say, well, Wayne, what if you're following the Lord and his purposes? Does that mean you'll never hit storms? No, we just saw that they will. But even when you hit storms, if you're working on his purposes and being concerned about what he's being concerned, he will, as Romans 8:28 says, he will work all, here's the faith zone now, he will work all things together for what? Good. Here it is. We usually stop there, but that's wrong. Finish the rest of the scripture. He will work all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. That's it. Do you see that? Because see, I could be over here and I run into a wall flying in a no-faith zone. And then I turn around and say, God, where were you? How come this happened? Don't you care? The Lord says, you know, I'll work all things together for good if you're on this side here. Because then you're following me so that whatever happens, it's going to be a win thing because that's the arena of faith. He works all things together. Now, will he work these? Yeah, he will. But there are consequences here. And God is saying, here's the most wonderful secret of an everyday faith is ask God, Lord, what are you concerned about in this season of my life? And match. Otherwise, I'll be pushing in an area he's not into, something he's not concerned about. I'll be giving time and energy and passion to a wrong area. And then I'll start to misinterpret and misdefine God. He doesn't care. Where was he? Why did he let this happen? Or we'll start to get fearful about things he's already taken care of. I'm afraid of the storm. I've got it taken care of already. Yeah, but it's just making me all afraid. I've already got it taken care of. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Just let me worry and die. I remember when we came from Hilo, we moved to Honolulu, and the exchange rate, of course, the economy is so different. And so we mustered all of our finances and everything, and we bought our first house here in Kaimuki. Well, whenever you buy a house like that, you're stretched to the limit. And to get over here, we had to sell everything in Hilo. So all our furniture, everything is sold to get enough money to come. And the church hadn't even started yet. And Dan Shima was still working as a real estate agent. Well, we got the house, but zero furniture. We were sleeping on air mattresses, you know, and I felt so bad, and I said, we just got to get some furniture in here, but we don't have any money. Everything is just completely bare. I just got to get a new job or something. I got to get a part-time job. I got to do something. And she said, don't worry about it. I said, yes, this is a season to worry. We got to worry about this. This is important here. And she said, don't worry about it. Just stay. God called us here to pioneer the church. I said, yeah, but I got to get a job too. I got to get a job. And so I was thinking, I got to sell stuff. You know, I got to sell this, sell that. I thought, man, what am I going to sell? I don't have anything. I sold everything. Kids, I can sell my children. I was hoping to sell them for a fairly good price, but I knew I couldn't get anything for them. And so I thought, well, what am I going to do? And I was just really fretting and worrying. Well, just then, Dan Shima had sold a house in Kahala for a very wealthy Japanese client. And when it was completely sold, he called his client up and said, okay, it's sold. He said, good, glad it's sold. And so he said, okay, now we've got to clean the house out for the new people coming in. You got all your stuff in there. Do you want me to put all your stuff in a container and ship it to Japan? And the client said, I don't want all of that furniture and stuff in Japan. He said, what do you want me to do with it? He said, I don't care. He said, can I give it to a friend? He said, give it to him. So we have a whole house filled with Kahala furniture for free. What is Jesus most concerned about in this season of your life? What are you concerned about, Lord, at this time in my life? You're a student. What are you concerned about? Well, I'm concerned about the women think I'm a stud and I got to have a nice car. And the Lord's saying, I'm really concerned about you doing grades that are good and your punctuality and your discipline, learning those character qualities and formulating a moral foundation in your character that will be unswayed by the pressures of the world and your peer pressure with friends. Are you establishing good foundations that'll carry you through life? I'm concerned about that. How are you developing those? You see, if we don't discern what God is concerned about, can you see how we'll fly for years in a no-faith zone? We'll misinterpret God and we'll never understand faith. One of the ways you can find out what God is concerned about is simply list what you're concerned about and then ask Him in a survey, are you very concerned, and somewhat concerned, not concerned? Or, like you have at the bottom of your notes, and here's your homework for today. You can write down these things. Areas I believe that Jesus is concerned about in this season of my life. Can I ask you to take some time today to list four things after really thinking now and praying about your life and what God would see, and write down four things that you really feel the Lord would be concerned about in your this season of your life. Write them down. And then say, Lord, I want to follow you. Because it's in these four things He's saying to you, come, let us go. And when you're walking where He's walking, you watch all the resources of heaven start to open up. But often we neglect those things that He's concerned about. We almost avoid those things. And we wonder why we fly in no faith zones. List those things that you feel the Lord is very concerned about with you in this season of your life. And when you do that and to cooperate with them so that when He says, follow me, you do, you watch, you wait, you'll see. You're about to enter into a season of miracles and fruit like you've never seen before. Walk with Him and you'll understand what it means to have an everyday faith In fact, a faith for all seasons.
You have been listening to a message entitled, A Faith for All Seasons by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Words of New Hope is heard each day at this time and sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Till next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.